We work in Belize, Nicaragua, Costa Rica, Panama, and most recently, Argentina as well. And I took my family with me, my wife and my two-year-old daughter. We moved to Nicaragua back in 2002. We lived there for 14 years and really enjoyed it. And the expat life is, you know, you retire well, retire happy. You know, we weren't retired. I was working, but the quality of life was phenomenal. And it was something that we experienced firsthand as a family. And it's so easy to understand why people are looking for, you know, I guess, Anne, it's a little paradoxical, right? This idea of having a higher quality of life that costs less. But certainly coming out of most of the United States and most of Canada, you can move to Latin America and have a higher quality of life and it costs less, which again, seems paradoxical, but we experienced it firsthand and it is truly wonderful.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. An Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. Anne will also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
Hi, welcome back to the Retire Well, Retire Happy show with your host today, Anne Nelson. And we have a treat in store for you today. Our guest is Michael Cobb. He is the co-founder of ECI Developments. It is an international company mainly working in the emerging real estate markets in South America, providing both lifestyle options and investing opportunities as well. This is part one of a two-part series. Hi, Michael. How are you?
Good, Anne, and nice to be with you today.
You spend most of your time in South America, but you haven't always been there. So how did you end up down there?
Good, great question. So I grew up in the United States in the Northeast near Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And after college, got into the computer business and was in that for about 13 years and really enjoyed it. But it was changing quickly and rapidly and I'd been pretty successful. And I wanted to do something a little different. So a college friend of mine and I, we started a little mortgage company in Belize and, you know, British Honduras in the old days. It became Belize in 1981. But we started a little mortgage company and we grew that into a bank. And then we were doing a lot of financing. We were helping folks from North America, you know, purchase homes and condos, a lot of retirees, middle-class folks coming to the region who needed some financing. And once we started doing that, we saw some opportunities to build homes and condominiums for that specific type of clientele as well. And have been doing that this is our 24th year, we're 24th year of business. So we've been doing it a long time. We've served a lot of folks over the years, really giving them something very affordable. We like to say affordable luxury in the region. You know, again, for North Americans, US and Canadians for the most part.
24 years, that's a long time. You don't only work in Belize now, is that correct?
Correct. Yeah, we work in Belize, Nicaragua, Costa Rica, Panama, and most recently, Argentina as well. And I took my family with me, my wife and my two-year-old daughter. We moved to Nicaragua back in 2002. We lived there for 14 years and really enjoyed it. And the expat life is, you know, you retire well, retire happy. You know, we weren't retired. I was working, but the quality of life was phenomenal. And it was something that we experienced firsthand as a family. And it's so easy to understand why people are looking for, you know, I guess, Anne, it's a little paradoxical, right? This idea of having a higher quality of life that costs less. But certainly coming out of most of the United States and most of Canada, you can move to Latin America and have a higher quality of life and it costs less, which, again, seems paradoxical, but we experienced it firsthand and it is truly wonderful.
Is that a trend for younger people to seek out this lifestyle, or are you servicing happy clients in all age brackets?
We do serve folks across the age spectrum. One of the newest, I say newest, it's maybe about 5 to 7 years old, but this idea of digital nomad, right? I mean, the younger folks, the millennials and the Gen Xers who, and even baby boomers to some extent, but folks who are working, you know, largely from a laptop or a phone, they really can live anywhere anymore as long as they have access to, you know, high-speed internet, right? Or phone service. And so what we're seeing is a lot of folks in their 30s and 40s now traveling and even buying properties because they can work from anywhere and they do work from anywhere. So yeah, so it's interesting. I would say in the last maybe 7 years, 5 to 7 years, this trend in the marketplace that we serve has really emerged. And I think it's got a lot of legs because, you know, again, you and I are talking, you know, across the great Pacific Ocean, and it doesn't really matter. I mean, I could be anywhere, you could be anywhere, and we could both still be doing this. So this technological revolution has really allowed this digital nomad to emerge. And it's very exciting. I think, you know, a lot of folks with adventurous spirits are looking for ways to do more, do things differently. And certainly, you know, going global is one way of doing that.
Right. Well, it's fantastic that you're offering a service, and I gather you're providing a better quality product than that people may have been able to buy in the past.
Yeah. You know, wealthy folks have always been able to pretty much have whatever they want. I mean, if you're writing a check for, you know, $500,000 US dollars or more for a product, you know, unless you're in New York City. But if you're in Latin America or the developing world, I think a lot of folks from your part of the world end up in Southeast Asia, right? Thailand, Vietnam, Cambodia, places like that. And, you know, if you were to go to use a familiar reference, I think for Australians, someplace like Chiang Mai, if you bought a property in Chiang Mai, Thailand for $500,000, you'd be getting a really nice product. But if you had, say, 100,000 US dollars to buy a home in Chiang Mai, you know, it's hit or miss. You might get something great, you might not. And so, you know, throughout Latin America, our clients really experienced the same thing. If you were wealthy, you got a wonderful product that was, you know, had hot water in all the bathrooms and, you know, great water pressure and high-speed internet and probably the amenities that people want. I mean, third spaces, whether it's a restaurant, a bar, a clubhouse, you know, tennis courts, fitness centers, all of those kinds of things came along with the package. The issue was is that people who didn't have that kind of money, they had 100 or 150 or 200 US, you know, 1,000 US dollars, a lot of times they had to settle for something, you know, less than perfect because the product wasn't in the marketplace. So yeah, and what we did is we said, you know what, we can build an affordable luxury product with all the amenities that make a place nice to be and a place that's nice to live, and you have neighbors and friends and you can create community. And that's what we've done throughout the region. And we're kind of alone in the space. Not many folks do what we do. It's not really sexy to build $150,000 houses. You know, it's never going to show up on the cover of Architectural Digest magazine, right? It's just not sexy. But the need is there, and we serve that need probably better than most. And again, not many folks in the business doing this. So it's a need that needs to be filled, and we're really happy that we're able to do it.
Well, congratulations. It sounds like you have a wonderful product. And can you explain how retirees are changing their reality when they go there and buy one of your properties?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a very insightful question, by the way. I think a lot of people miss that one when they're thinking about this moving overseas, because this idea of reinventing is foundational, right? Because I always try to explain it this way. I speak a lot at conferences. I do a lot of writing as well, but I talk about this idea of community because when people leave their hometown, right? So, and presumably retire as well, right? So, I mean, it's this big triple whammy, right? You're leaving your job, which tends to be a big social network for most folks. Then you're going to up and leave your hometown, right? You're going to, and that's maybe where you have your church or your softball group or, you know, again, your social networks in your hometown, and you're going to move someplace new where you don't know anyone. Like this reinventing, this reemergence in this new location is so, so critically important for, I love your word, happiness, right? This idea of being happy it's the hallmark, right? I mean, if we look at some point in our lives, you know, maybe we've sacrificed for our children, we've sacrificed for our career or whatever, but, you know, retirement should be a time of happiness, right? Where we enjoy the fruits of our labor and we've raised our family, maybe we have some grandkids, whatever. So when we get to this new location, how do we make new friends, right? How do we build a new community, a new network or a social group of peers, right? People that we can relate to, you know, at the important levels of human relation. And this is something that is not easy to do, not very few, but few developers really get this piece right. And we've modeled our development on some very, very successful communities and a development model called New Urbanism that has proven itself successful empirically in the marketplace throughout the United States and Canada to deliver this concept of community where people move there, they've got a clubhouse, they've got a bar, they've got, you know, amenities, they've got what we call third spaces where, you know, you can go sit and have a drink, or you can go swim around in the swimming pool, or you can go to the gym and work out, or you can go play tennis or play golf, or, you know, go ride horses or whatever it is. And when you're doing these things, you're going to bump into other people who live in the community just like you do. And this is how community happens. It happens organically when people meet other people doing things that they enjoy to do. And if you enjoy horseback riding on the beach and you're out riding horses on the beach with a group of folks, chances are you've got at least a few things in common with them, and you can strike up a conversation, and, you know, maybe next week you're over having drinks with them, or, you know, you're playing tennis or whatever it is. And then this is how real community happens. And it's special and it's wonderful because it translates into this, you know, happy retirement. And enough on that. It's foundational. It's important. And again, thank you for asking that question. It's very insightful. Again, a lot of people think it's just a move. I'm going to move someplace to the tropics. I'm going to be happy. And maybe you will, maybe you won't. But just living in the tropics doesn't make most people happy. It's really about a lot more than that to get, you know, the rounding out.
Yes, it helps when you've got a vested interest. But some people will be miserable anyway. But
yes,
you've got to have the right mindset that, you know, you can be happy anyway.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's an old saying, no matter where I go, there I am. And I think if people bring sort of an unhappy mindset, it doesn't matter where they go, they're going to stay unhappy. But, you know, I think people that move overseas have this adventurous spirit and generally, by and large, are fairly happy by nature, right? I mean, as one of our famous presidents in the United States, Abraham Lincoln, once said, people are about as happy as they make up their minds to be.
Yes.
And you know, I think, I mean, he's right. I mean, we have a decision to make. Like, life throws circumstances at us all the time, but we have a decision, you know, whether we're going to be happy or not, that we shouldn't let life's circumstances affect our happiness. Anyway, so, but your point's well taken. There are some people who are just going to be unhappy no matter where they go, but I think that's their decision.
Yes. Well, it doesn't sound they have too many excuses to be like that if they end up in one of your communities. They sound absolutely wonderful.
Well, thank you. Thank you. We're really happy with what they've become, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. And you're also providing investors with opportunities over there as well, I gather.
We are. Yeah, we are. You know, a lot of folks look at real estate investments as a piece of real estate, right? They're going to buy a home or a condo, or, you know, if they're land speculators, they're going to buy a property and sit on it for, you know, 5 to 10 years, whatever, right? So there's this idea of buying a piece of real estate, something specific as an investment. And we certainly do have great investments for folks, because one of the things that we've found is a lot of our retirees, and in fact, we actually encourage this, you know, a lot of our retirees rent for 3 to 6 months, sometimes a year before they buy. We certainly encourage 3 months of rental before somebody buys, because, you know, you might get the country right, you might even get the area of a country right, but is it the right neighborhood? Is this the right place for you? And if you rent somewhere for 3 to 6 months, what you'll find is that, you know, at the end of that time, it'll either feel right or it won't. And you can decide, you know, to buy or not buy at that point. And so because we have a lot of people renting, we actually have a very good rental program for our property. So we do a lot of property management and rental management. So if folks are thinking about the actual ownership of a condo or a home, it can be a really good investment if you want to put it into a rental program and rent it. I say the problem, it's not really a problem, but the problem we face is, you know, most of our property owners actually are people who are going to live in their condo or their home most or all of the year. So there is this opportunity to buy a property, own a property, and then rent it if you're not going to use it. So that's one opportunity. But and there's another one that is sort of a hidden opportunity that, again, most people wouldn't think about, and that's to actually own a piece of the development company. We do that. I know we're very, very rare in this space. You know, we actually have shareholders in our company who own a piece of ECI Development, our development company. And it's a very different kind of investment because you don't actually own a property, but you own the company that develops the properties. And that, for somebody who's looking for a diversified real estate investment with, I say, a ton of hard assets. I mean, we're in 5 countries. We own over 5 miles of beachfront property in 5 countries. And so it's a very diversified investment. And it's also, you know, backed by a lot of hard assets. So that's a different kind of investment for folks looking to be in the real estate space, serving a retiree community and the digital nomads as well, but serving an overseas clientele without actually directly owning any single piece of property. So a couple ideas there.
Where are most of your people choosing to live? What's the most popular places in South America?
And I'm going to give you the bigger answer, which includes countries that we do not work in. But for U.S. and Canadians as well, the most popular country in Latin America is by far Mexico. Mexico has been a home for U.S. Expats and snowbirds for, you know, 50, 75 years. I mean, just a long, long time. And so by far, Mexico is the most popular. We do not work in Mexico, by the way, not for any particular reason. It's just we got our start south of there, and Mexico's got a lot of folks that kind of do what we do. So we're not particularly special in Mexico. But next would be Costa Rica from a U.S. and Canadian standpoint. Costa Rica is certainly the second most popular after Mexico. Panama would be the third. Then Belize. Belize is very, very popular and becoming a lot more popular now, probably because of two things. English being the official language has always made Belize popular in the eyes of a consumer, but airlift was an issue. And just in the last 3 years, airlift from the United States and Canada to Belize has more than doubled. It's a lot more accessible, and some discount carriers have started flying there. Southwest Airlines from the U.S., WestJet out of Canada. And so these factors, airlift being the primary one, has really started to make Belize a lot more popular. And then the ease of living there, you know, with the language. And so Belize is probably third. Nicaragua is probably fourth. And then, you know, Argentina, we're just new. We just entered into our partnerships there this year. So it's too hard to tell how it's going to do as a marketplace. It's pretty popular with U.S. folks. It's just a long way. It's a, you know, 12-hour flight from Miami. So it's a lot further to get to it. So it's probably more of a specialized customer than a mass, you know, mass retiree market. But certainly Costa Rica, Panama, Belize are three very, very popular up-and-coming, you know, expat retiree destinations.
All right. Well, thanks very much. You've been very thorough with your explanations, and it sounds like you're creating wonderful communities over there for people to live no matter what their age.
That's true. And having a mixture of age creates a pretty vibrant community and a fun place to live. And actually, it's interesting because a lot of our staff and team members live on property, and they actually would refer to the folks as neighbors. You know, I mean, I don't live on property anymore. I have, but I don't now. And so, you know, when you're there, they're neighbors. I mean, you see them at the bar, you see them in the pool, you see them, you know, out on the beach or whatever, and they're neighbors, you know?
And do you your clients, your residents, are they mixing with the locals or are they in their own little world there?
For example, at our Grand Pacifica community in Nicaragua, it's large. It's 2,500 acres with 3.5 miles of beach. And we built the first two neighborhoods inside Grand Pacifica. 24%, so just about 1 in 4 of our property owners are Nicaraguan. And so, yeah, you know, it really is a mixed community in that sense. And you know, language can be an issue because, you know, Nicaragua, Panama, Costa Rica is all Spanish. Many of our property owners are U.S. and Canadian that don't speak a lot of Spanish, for example. But you know what? It works out. People are people. If they want to communicate, they figure out ways to do it. And, you know, our folks, you know, definitely learn Spanish. A lot of them end up taking Spanish lessons when they arrive and, you know, through even immersion programs or even private lessons. So it's fairly easy to pick up Spanish. And so, yeah, the communities are very integrated into the local larger community as well.
All right. Well, that sounds like a wonderful note to finish up on. You're creating happy environments to happy clients. And
yes, we are.
And how would people get in touch with you again if they're looking to move to South America?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think, again, if folks just want to hit the general info@ecidevelopment.com, and then just put in the subject line, you know, Ann Nelson podcast. And if there was anything specific, whether it was a country or information on the teak or an information on the property or whatever, just make a note of that. Send us a note. I see all of those that come in, by the way. And so I'll respond and I'll direct folks to somebody who can, you know, help them with the information that they're asking for.
Well, thanks very much for being on the Retire Well, Retire Happy podcast. And we've been listening to Michael Cobb. Thank you.
And thank you very much. Great program.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.